You're listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by the team at Food Matters. Welcome to Table Talk, a guide to the future of food and nutrition, brought to you by Food Matters. And this episode has been made in partnership with Tetra Pak. In these podcasts, we chat with visionaries from across the food industry to discover the ideas that will transform our food landscape. I'm Stephen Gates. I'm a food science writer, I'm a broadcaster, and I'm a gastronaut. Now, this episode is all about two of my favourite things. It's about new, exciting flavours, and it's also about ice cream. With extraordinary growth in the ice cream market continuing, we're seeing all kinds of innovation with psychology, contemporary trends, and food science combining to create an astonishing array of new ice cream recipes and flavours. Tetra Pak is one of the world's largest food processing and packaging businesses. As much as 50% of the world's ice cream is produced using Tetra Pak equipment and lines. And they work closely with customers to bring new flavours to life by experimenting with flavours and concepts. So, what's driving these emerging trends? And what does your taste in ice cream say about you? Well, to discuss this, I'm joined by Torben Vilsgaard, Ice Cream Academy Manager at Tetra Pak. Hello there, Torben.
Hello.
And also Regina Hayden, Global Food and Drink Analyst at research company Mintel. Hello there, Regina.
Hi, everyone.
So first of all, let's kick off with you, Regina. Can you give me an overview of the size of the global ice cream market?
Well, I think we need to start by saying that despite changing consumer attitudes and the fact that we are thinking about our lifestyle and health in a more holistic way, ice cream is and remains a highly indulgent category. That, you know, there is no denying to that. And it's very highly taste driven, and such attributes like flavor and texture really bring that new innovations, excitement to consumers. And also the pandemic kind of moved the premiumization trend even further, especially here in the UK. 2020 was tremendous year in retail, and because consumers were not able to go out and indulge themselves in restaurants or travel or any other activities, therefore they tried to replicate those experiences back at home. In terms of the market size, both in volume and value, there are three leading markets. It's the US, China, and Japan. For instance, US consumes nearly 4 billion liters of ice cream in 2020.
Wow.
It's pretty impressive number. UK, smaller one, 1.5 billion euros spent on ice cream in 2020. And in volume terms, that was 356 million liters. And also, interestingly, India is predicted to be the fastest growing market in the next 5 years in terms of the ice cream consumption. So that's the market probably to look at.
So the market's clearly vast, it's clearly growing. And what are the major trends that you're seeing in consumer choices when it comes to ice cream?
So I think the indulgence flavors and textures were always there, and they will always be driving this category further. However, we also see other interesting things happening. So obviously, there's a big impact of plant-based diets, and they inevitably have impact on the ice cream category as well. The kind of choices is broadening and becoming more indulgent as well. We also see the introduction of more functional ingredients, and the reason being because consumers are looking at food and drink as a way to kind of enhance their well-being, their health, but also to have something fun. So functional ingredients can help the category to be both kind of indulgent, but also bring in something healthy for consumers. And I think Torben can compliment me here with more details on that.
Certainly. When we are looking at industry, we are probably looking ahead in time because our customers are asking us to produce the production lines. So what we are seeing that is coming to be a huge trend on the ice cream market, that is large inclusions, meaning that ice cream will have huge blocks of strawberries, or it could also be dough, or it could be almonds or something like that. And here, actually, what we are seeing is that there's a drive towards these large inclusions where people are seeing a premium product, an indulgent product, but they're also seeing what they're eating. I think in the ice cream industry, it has been that when you are eating ice cream or consuming an ice cream, you're not 100% sure what it was. It was just some mixed, blended stuff. But now today, what consumers want, they want to see the fruits. They want to see what they're eating. And thereby also what we've seen is that a drive towards not just having them in cups and bulk products, but also in stick products, where we are seeing that this is also one of the biggest interest from our customer side, is to look at how to make these novelties or magnum type ice creams with these large inclusions.
Technically, that must be really tricky, because normally, you know, ice cream as we know it is a relatively simple, homogeneous substance that extrudes into a mug. Suddenly, you've got big lumps of stuff going in. That must change things enormously.
It changes the whole concept significantly. What we're seeing is that we need to balance both the matrix of the ice cream, but also the inclusions, but certainly also the equipment. And here, what we've done here the last couple of years ago, we invented a process where we can put in these large inclusions into stick products. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting that you can see actually a strawberry or a cherry berry or whatever, and you can see it on both sides of the stick. So you really have this handcrafted appearance of a commercial produced ice cream.
And that's a big shift, isn't it?
It is a big shift, yeah. And it's also difficult, by the way. But
that's your job, to conquer the difficult bits.
Yeah, that's our challenge.
Now, what about the other big influencing factors? What about concerns about the environment? Do environmental concerns affect how consumers buy ice cream?
I think when we talk about the environmental impact, the first thing that consumers think when they look at ice cream is obviously packaging, and packaging being on our minds for, you know, a couple of years. And I think the pandemic kind of reinforced that sustainability message even more, because at some point the whole world just stood still and nothing was moving. And then we kind of thought, like, what's the impact? There is a huge reliance on the plastic packaging because, well, ice cream, it is what it is. It has to be contained in a certain packaging to kind of keep its properties, etc. However, there is so much more can be done, and we've seen some big brands moving that direction, including Ben & Jerry's. They introduced the paper wrapper instead of plastic wrapper, and it can be recycled in the curb recycling. We've seen Carte d'Or coming with degradable packaging. So big players are trying to kind of meet consumer demand for more sustainable pack solutions, but still so much can be done. Another interesting factor talking about sustainability is obviously the big reliance of the ice cream industry on the dairy industry. And for some consumers, they may think, oh, I just need to move on to some plant-based products instead for ethical reasons or other reasons. And another thing that consumers probably are not even thinking about is the refrigeration. And some companies are trying to move to more sustainable refrigeration systems. However, this is, again, very complex and very complicated.
What we see in from the processing point of view on the environmental factors that is affecting how consumers are buying ice cream, it's invincible. Here we are focusing a lot on the energy reduction, reducing food waste, reducing the water utilized for processing. And certainly also one of our biggest things, or our customers' largest focus, it is to optimize the process so that we can get higher utilization and certainly also higher capacities online, so that when we are producing the products or customers are producing the products, they save energy. So seen from that point of view, it is a little bit behind the curtain, so to say.
And I mean, other impacts as well. I think it's like veganism. We've got a TV series all about veganism shooting in my studio here right at the moment. And the freezer is packed full of vegan ice creams. But this must have changed the industry enormously, and the range of products on offer as well.
Oh, definitely. However, you see, when we talk about plant-based ice cream, which effectively could be dedicated for vegans, we shouldn't be just talking that they are dedicated for vegans, because when we ask our consumers globally how many of them are full-time vegetarians or full-time vegans, the percentages are tiny. Majority are indulging those plant-based products across all food and drink categories for many different reasons. Some because of the impact on the environment, some because they think it's more ethical to eat plant-based products. Others think that such products are healthier, and the others just want to have that variety. Therefore, we see that those plant-based products, they're just booming across all categories, including ice cream. So plant-based ice cream is not just for vegans, it's for a general audience. And we see a dramatic kind of shift how they taste, how they look. They're becoming more indulgent. They are trying to mimic full-fat, dairy-based ice creams. And we expect to see more products coming to the market.
If you ask me, I see the vegan or the plant-based frozen dessert, I really see it as a game changer, seen from ice cream point of view. You know, traditionally, or for many, many years, we've had two different types of proteins to work with from the dairy side, the casein and the whey proteins. Now we've opened up the playground here with hundreds of new proteins, and all of them is having different functionalities and different challenges, of course, but also new textures and new ways of presenting the ice cream. So I think I see the future here on a lot of new and innovative products and also processes where we can maybe bypass some of the cost or energy cost heavy processes. So definitely the vegan has not just only opened our minds, but it is also challenging because it is working with plant protein in ice cream is, I would not say difficult, and nothing is difficult in our world. There's always solutions. But when we are making ice cream, we are relying on the proteins to assist on building the microstructure within the ice cream. But also viscosity, some of the plant proteins, they are not giving any viscosity, some of them are giving viscosity, and that is making a very different world for us when we are freezing our product in our continuous freezer.
So complications are all over the place, really. So how have ice cream makers responded? How has Tetra Pak specifically responded to all of these different changes in consumer tastes?
What we are doing is that we've started early because we have been on the, how should we say, on the journey for some years, because what we are seeing is that customers are coming into us or partners are coming into us and saying, we would like to get something on the market in, let's say, 1-2 years. So we've been in the plant-based business for some time. And here what we're doing is that we've generated a lot of knowledge and we are utilizing this knowledge to create new solutions and to assist the customers, our customers, the ice cream makers, to assist them to get easier to work with the plant-based proteins. And here in Denmark, we have a product development center, which is a semi-commercial ice cream plant capable of making everything from base raw material out to triple-coated stick novelties. So again, ice cream makers, they are joining up with us and we are collaborating and going into the products, investigating how the proteins are behaving and seeing what parameters or what processes are required for making the products. And then we go into the prototyping.
See, that's the exciting bit for me. When it starts getting to a bit of chemistry, a bit of physics, a bit of fluid dynamics, all these kind of, I start getting all excited. But I know not everybody does. So what about the actual specifics of some of the innovations that you've been working on? What's new and what's exciting? Can you give us some examples of what you've been developing?
Yes, I've already mentioned the large inclusion where we had this wheel where we are extruding products with these big lumps of things that you want to put in. But mini products or these bite-sized products, they are getting more and more popular. And I think when we look into the future, I think this will be a big trend in ice cream because here we have the portion size. Here we have the luxurity of having just a single product. And I know your people out there, you're probably not interested that much in process, but...
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. But when you go down in size, you need precision because our machines, they are producing up to 1 million units per 24 hours. And if you're producing that much and you have tiny product, then you really need to go into precision and getting everything to work together. Because if we are losing 50% of the products, then it is a very poor business. So when we are starting up, we are going with the aim of having almost nothing that is going to waste when we are running production, because it's really a lot of money that can go down the drain and also food waste, of course. A funny little thing that we've also in our innovation just launched, it is a robotic filler. It doesn't sound that big, but it is actually a collaborative robot, meaning that it is a robot that doesn't need any safety around it, because if you touch it when it's moving, it just stops. And now this is a very nice thing in the ice cream industry, because this is aiming towards smaller producers that would like to make these decorated fillings. You know, these where you put ice cream and ripple towards and you're generating very nice decorative patterns inside the bulk filling here. So really, this is how small ice cream producers or medium-sized ice cream producers can make the signature ice cream. So again, this is also one of the fun things that we've been working with over the winter.
And also the whole miniaturization thing is very, very exciting. Yeah. What about new flavors? What's kicking around now?
I think when we talk about flavors, we should be looking at one particular region, and it's Asia, because they are so good in making very unusual flavors, and they are good making limited edition options, which is just a fabulous thing to kind of keep consumers interested. It's a good way to engage with younger audiences because they, as I've been telling for many years, their attention span is 3 seconds. They snap a picture, put on Instagram, and they want something new again. But it's a very good way to engage with them and to get extra exposure through social media. So I think Asia definitely can be our inspiration, especially if we want to bring that extra premium impact and indulgence and something exciting, something new, something unusual. But what we've been seeing is development of flavors recently where, you know, two amazing flavors of chocolate and caramel just chucked together and again looking fantastic, like Torben been saying, that this visual appeal is becoming equally important. And again, very often because of younger audiences, because they are so visual, they just want nicely looking things to be put on social media. But on the other hand side, again talking about this visual appeal, is we as consumers, we want to see what we are eating. We don't want things just mashed together and it's fine. So it's not fine. We want to see. We want to know where the ingredients are coming from. We want to know who made them, how they made them. That's why we see those things becoming so, so big.
And also, I mean, on the flip side from originality is nostalgia. You have strange traditional flavors that are not normally found in ice cream, but are nostalgic for people. So you've got beer-flavored ice cream in Japan, bimbo cake ice cream in Spain. Is this another really important force of consumer choice?
Nostalgia also can play in two ways. They obviously, if that was an iconic brand like recently Viennetta, which is still around in Europe in most of the countries, it has its comeback in the US recently, and consumers on social media then went so happy, especially those who grew up with that ice cream. But also those nostalgic brands, they can't just rely on the fact that someone will remember them. They need to be at the same time quite modern and appealing to younger consumers. So they needs to bring the story, they need to bring the narrative, they need to make that link between now, you know, why they were popular back then and how they can be relevant nowadays. So we see those nostalgic products coming to the market. They obviously are appealing to those who remember them, but it's very important how they play with youngsters that never seen or tried them.
And Torben, what are the main challenges? We talked about environmental needs and consumer choice based on environmental concerns. Does this come into conflict with retaining what people love about traditional ice creams? Are the two things compatible?
Certainly. Well, what we are working on from Tetra Pak on the processing side will always be on optimizing our equipment to work at a lower level of energy and a lower level of waste and a lower level of food waste. So again, what we are seeing here is that we're going in on all our electric components because we want to save power. So we go in and get higher efficiency or greener technologies. We are trying to utilize all of the energy in a better way. One thing that is also opening up is that we can now get improved and faster regulation or control loops on our equipment. That means that we have a faster feedback from the machines and thereby also can act more prompt. But I think one of the big changing things in the industry for the next years, that would be automation. That would be to simplify the production and to assure that what we are doing or what is done in on the production floor, that is the same from day to day to day. So again, giving these uniform process parameters. And again, this is only benefiting not just the customers, but certainly also the ice cream makers, because it is saving energy. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, the food waste is also one of the biggest things that is in our minds, because we want, of course, when we are running a machine of this size, then we need to change one product to another product. And optimizing this change in products is not only limiting the amount of waste, but certainly also increasing the yield or how much the machine is pushing out to the warehouse. So again, I know I'm a little bit boring here, but but this is the environmental aspects that we are seeing from Tetra Pak. And also what we are looking is at the water. You know, when you are cleaning up or when you are making the CIP, or this is the cleaning in place, then it is an extremely important place to be aware, because you are spending a lot of water and a lot of chemicals to clean up the machine. So here, optimizing and automation is also quite critical.
And if we sort of step back from the nuts and bolts of it for a second, Regina, what markets are giving us the most dramatic changes? Which parts of the world are really going for something different?
Again, we should look into Asia, and perhaps maybe specifically into Japan. We'll be having Olympics, hopefully, that won't change any last minute. And what we've always noticed that around any Olympic event or any big sport event for that matter, there is kind of influx of limited edition flavors from that region, from that country, in different food and drink categories. And we expect that to happen around the Olympics as well. So again, because consumers can't go there, they can't participate at the event and try new cuisine, new flavors there, it's a good way for brands to borrow those flavors from that market and try and bring that variety. So we've already seen such flavors like wasabi, seaweed, sesame, hot chica flavors in ice cream, but currently they are predominantly appearing in Asia.
And so what about the old traditional flavors, things like vanilla and mint and chocolate? Do you think they're really here to stay? Certainly in Europe, I think you're sort of hinting that in Europe we're less adventurous. Is that the case?
Well, I wouldn't say Europe is less adventurous, but I think those flavors, they will stay here. I think each brand will eventually have such flavors on display. However, what is changing is the combinations manufacturers are using vanilla or chocolate or even caramel. I think caramel is now also kind of a more traditional one. It's also very important whether the manufacturer is talking about the origin or the very specific type, because I think there is over 100 types of vanilla out there. So why not to talk specifically about which type of vanilla, how we got it, who made it, who grew it, etc., etc. Consumers want to hear those stories. And yeah, some may say, oh, vanilla ice cream is so boring. But if you add that extra layer of story of combination with other flavors or other ingredients, that will kind of boost performance and how consumers perceive boring vanilla.
I love a bit of vanilla. But as you say, there's lots of different types and lots of different ways you can present it. Okay, so let's think about recent events. And I know you touched on it a little bit, Regina, but if you could expand a little bit more. How has COVID-19 affected the ice cream market?
Yeah, well, 2020 was indeed a very difficult year. And we must admit that at Mintel, at the beginning of 2020, we were thinking, oh, it will be a very bad year for ice cream because, well, consumers will be locked at home, impulse purchases will drop. However, no, it was on the contrary. For the UK, it was fantastic year in retail because, as I mentioned in the beginning, consumers kind of switched to indulge themselves at home. They went for more premium products. In my local Tesco, when I was finally allowed to go physically to the shop, instead of two doors, fridges dedicated for ice cream, I suddenly saw the whole line of fridges full of ice cream. And I thought like, wow, that means there is demand, there is interest. And brands were trying to think outside the box. We've seen, you know, brands cooperating with this home cinema events where you could win a supply of ice cream for the whole week and watch film, or they were developing quite heavily direct-to-consumer delivery of ice cream. But again, that's a very technically complicated way because, well, we need to contain temperature so it could remain intact. So yeah, it's been a challenging year, but I think it was very interesting. Obviously, some brands, they kind of put on hold any plans of further development of products. But I think maybe Torben will will say I'm not right in this respect. And maybe a lot of clients came his way to ask for new technologies.
Well, what we are seeing is that we are seeing a lot of new products and a lot of new types of products. And this is a challenging thing for the industry, but also the awakening of the industry, because we have been a very conservative, traditional industry. But now we are seeing new processing equipment solutions. And also, when I look outside in the world, there are a lot of interesting and challenging products, especially for the sensors and also these healthy products. So generally, what I see in the market is that the quality, meaning that the technology is stepping upwards. When we're looking outside in the developing world, they are also interested in getting not just a frozen water and sugar lump, but they are also interested in getting higher quality products. I don't know if it's coming from the directly from the COVID-19 pandemic, but this is my personal thing. But I think we are getting more focused on treating ourselves nicely. And ice cream, that is a treat. That is something you when you celebrate, when you want to do something good for yourself. And I think that is what's captured by the ice cream makers around the world and saying, okay, we are stepping up in technology.
I think you also mentioned, though, that consumers are increasingly obsessed with health. And I mean, obviously, ice cream has not traditionally been a healthy product. But how has the market responded to consumers being increasingly focused on health?
Yeah, I think despite the fact that the ice cream is such an indulgent category, there is room to be healthier. And therefore, we saw kind of more functional ingredients making move to ice cream, for instance, probiotics or sometimes even vitamins or just the ingredients, let's say goji berries, for instance, that can give you something extra healthy, etc. And as Torben mentioned earlier, those small size, bite-sized ice cream, they are also a reflection of this health movement because we ultimately consume less sugar, less fat, less calories. But we have this boost for our mind, that indulgent boost, which is, again, more consumers understand that your mental health and your physical health are so related. This is this complex and holistic approach to our well-being, and tiny bites of ice cream can do just that.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest trends, as also we started with, that is the plant-based frozen dessert. And I know that it might not be that it's more healthy, but it's the appearance of being more healthy or the allowability for people to say, I want to have an ice cream. I want to do something which is not totally wrong, but just in the middle of that.
Just
one.
A bit wrong.
Yeah, just a bit wrong. So I think the plant-based alternatives are definitely going to win into place and it's mainstream now. But I totally agree with Regina. What we are going to see in the future is also these fortified ice cream products where we are adding in, it could be probiotics, prebiotics, it could be vitamins, and then we can do this ice cream a little bit better than worse.
Excellent. Now, before we finish, I've got to ask this thing, the most important thing really for both of you. What is your favourite ice cream flavour? Regina, what's your go-to ice cream?
I wouldn't say I have a preferable flavour. It's more about textures. Mm. It's like crunchy, gooey, and I think ice cream can do even more with bringing even more adventurous textures, like something popping in your mouth or something. And I just like this different sensation. I also like very unusual combinations like sweet and sour or sweet and salty. To be honest, sometimes I put salt on my ice cream if it's too sweet. So it's just do it yourself, basically.
Yeah. And what does this tell us about you? Is it about adventure? Is it about experimentation?
I think, probably adventure, experimentation. But also I think I'm a doer and this texture I associate with movement. So it's like I'm constantly on the move. I'm constantly doing something. I just can't sit down, relax and read a book 5 minutes and see you later. So I think that would be right. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. And Torben, what's your favorite ice cream flavor and what does it tell us about you?
My favorite ice cream flavor, that is actually vanilla. It's because I used to been a part of a sensory panel for many years. and tasting ice cream every day for many years. So I am a little bit professionally biased towards vanilla. It's very good that if it's a very weak vanilla or a cheap vanilla like vanillin, because then I really can taste all the different other ingredients in the ice cream. But if I'm going out and I need to choose something else than vanilla, because my kids are looking at me and saying, you can't have a soft serve now, something, you know, salted caramel. And I don't know what that tells about me, but I'm guessing that, I don't know, it's just tastes good.
But that's what's exciting. There's so many elements to it, the flavor, texture, heat, all these different things that make ice cream so fascinating that it's almost impossible to say this is what it says about me, because there's so much to discover. Well, Torben Vilsgaard and Regina Hayden, you've made the world of ice cream even more delicious and exciting than it was before. So thank you so much for talking to me. You've been listening to the Table Talk podcast brought to you by Food Matters. If you enjoyed this episode, you might like one of our other podcasts in which we explore pretty much every aspect of the food industry, from bioplastics to farm robotics. Follow to get every episode freshly delivered to you on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, take a look at foodmatters.co.uk. Thank you so much for listening.